This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
It is indeed a pleasure to be back into your vibrational level once again. And before we begin, we would like to once again take a moment to express our greetings to Yastra Fuel as well, to express our gratitude for you once again offering us this opportunity to interact and to share with Yastra Fuel in your vibrational level, in your reality. Now, once again, before we begin, we would remind you that there continues to exist that opportunity for you to be involved in what we like to refer to as a silent communication or a telepathic interaction and exchange of information with other entities that would be with us on this afternoon. And you will find that as a result of the energy that you have created in this space, that it's quite easy for you to alter your consciousness and to enter into what you might refer to as a meditative state, and in that altered state of consciousness participate in that silent communication, in that telepathic interaction, in that exchange of information. And while we would encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity that you have created, we would nonetheless remind you once again that it is your choice. Absolutely. Now, you exist in an illusionary reality. Doesn't mean that it's not significant. It doesn't mean that it doesn't have a purpose. In fact, it's very significant and has a definite purpose in your creation process, and yet it allows you to experience a reality that you believe is created beyond your control, and to a certain extent, a reality that you are simply subject to, as opposed to understanding that you are the creator of this reality. You exist not only in this reality, and not only in this incarnational period, but in a multitude of incarnational periods occurring within the same time and same space. As difficult as that concept is for you to grasp in your awakened consciousness state, nonetheless, it has an impact and an influence on the reality that you experience in this incarnational period. And when you're in your altered state of consciousness, particularly in what we like to refer to as your deep dream state, or in that altered state of consciousness that we refer to as in-between incarnational state, you interact with those other incarnational periods, those other realities that you are creating. And they consequently have an influence on the reality that you experience in your awakened consciousness state. And conversely, what you experience in your awakened consciousness state in this particular incarnational period that you in your awakened consciousness state believe is all that is, it also affects what you experience in those other incarnational periods. You have, as a human consciousness, agreed to alter the energy that you utilize to create this reality, this illusion. And as a result, as we have suggested many times, it's possible for you to influence your reality from a conscious state in a manner that was difficult for you to achieve in your so-called past. Difficult, but not impossible. Also, because you have agreed as a human consciousness to create this new age and new energy, as we refer to it, as this alteration or slight change in the energy that you utilize to create this reality. It's a process that you're involved in, whether you wish to believe it or not. You see, as we have suggested so many times, you create your reality. You can't change that. And it really doesn't matter whether you in your awakened consciousness state believe that as something that is true or simply a whim, a possibility. It really makes no difference. You create your reality. And the reality that you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold. And so if you believe you're not in control, if you believe that you have no influence on this reality that you're experiencing, then you shall experience validations of those belief systems. There should be all types of interactions in your day-to-day activities that validate that belief that you're not in control. It's not right or wrong. It's a validation of a belief or a belief system that you hold. Consequently, when you as a human consciousness agreed to alter the energy that you utilize to create this reality, you, whether you choose to believe it or hold that as a real possibility in your awakened consciousness state, nonetheless participate in the alteration of that energy and consequently the impact that it has upon the reality that you experience in your day-to-day activities. In other words, what you think and believe in your awakened consciousness state influences your reality in a manner that was difficult for you to achieve in your past, regardless of whether or not in your so-called awakened consciousness state, in this vibrational level, you believe that to be true. But you hold in a conscious thought in your awakened consciousness state influences the reality that you experience in your day-to-day activities. You also, as a result of that alteration of the reality and the energy that you experience in this particular incarnational period, have an influence on all of the other realities that you're experiencing in all of the other vibrational levels, in all of the other incarnational periods that you're involved in. They interact. You're not separate from one from the other. You're simply in your awakened consciousness state and to various degrees in other levels of consciousness that you experience in your present incarnational period have limitations of the understanding of the influence and the interactivity that you're having with those other incarnational periods. But as those other incarnational periods influence this reality, consequently, so does this incarnational period influence the other realities that you're experiencing in other levels of your consciousness, in this other multidimensional personality that you are. And so, what you experience in your awakened consciousness state that's being influenced by your conscious thought, what it is that you desire, is also having an influence in your other incarnational periods. Your other incarnational existences are being influenced by this incarnational period, and once again, conversely, so is this incarnational period being influenced by others. And so, as we suggested many times, it's important to understand what it is that you desire. And perhaps more so in this incarnational period than it has been in your so-called previous incarnational periods. Because in this incarnational period, in your awakened consciousness state, you have, as a human consciousness, altered the energy that you utilize to create the reality and consequently altered the impact that your conscious thought has upon the reality that you experience. That once again influences other realities, other incarnational periods as well. And so it's important to know what it is that you desire, what it is that you hold as a desire in your awakened consciousness state. It's important that you understand that your thoughts have an impact upon your reality, upon your day-to-day activities, in a manner that was difficult for you to achieve in your so-called past, in other reincarnational periods. It's important to understand that what you desire, what you imagine, and in particular, what it is that you expect to achieve and to experience in this reality, has a possibility to be influenced from your conscious state in a manner that was once again very difficult in your so-called past. And once again, the irony of it is that you have, as a human consciousness, agreed to participate and to hold a belief system that you can consciously influence your reality. And therefore, what you hold as a thought, what you desire, what you imagine and what you expect to be created in your reality, once again, is influenced greatly in what it is that you actually do experience in your day-to-day activities. So pay attention to what it is that you desire. Know what it is that you expect to bring into your reality. You create this reality from a position of absolute unconditional love. It's difficult to give you an explanation of who and what you truly are. It's impossible to give an explanation through the utilization of words. It's an experience that you can have, but it's one that defies explanation. But nonetheless, the spark of consciousness that you are creates this reality that you experience in your day-to-day activities from a position of absolute unconditional love. If you can bring into your conscious experience the understanding of what it is to love oneself, and consequently have the opportunity and the understanding of what it is to love another, you can as well greatly influence your capacity to consciously influence the reality that you experience. And perhaps most importantly, you enhance the expectation that it's possible for you to achieve that which you desire. And expectation can be one of the most difficult aspects of this creation process for you to hold in your awakened consciousness that. And so loving oneself can become very important in this achievement of conscious creation and the expectation to influence and create your reality consciously. Love is a state of being and a state of doing. It's important to love oneself in order to achieve the capacity to love others. It's very difficult to express love to another when you don't love who you are. If you don't like who you are, it's difficult to like others. And the irony of it is, if you don't love who you are, like who you are, others find it difficult as well to like who you are and to love you. And so it's important that you make an effort, if you wish, to achieve this self-love in your awakened consciousness state. And consequently, the capacity and ability to love others and as well the increase of your expectation to correct the reality that you desire. Being in love with another individual. Often requires what you believe is an effort. When you meet someone and you begin to interact and to form a relationship, there are other instances when you meet someone and the attraction and the understanding is instantaneous between the actual individuals. Some of you would refer to that as love at first sight. You see, in those circumstances, almost consistently, those two individuals are involved in relationships in other incarnational periods. Perhaps not in a relationship of where you are partners involved in some type of a marital or a commitment to each other, but perhaps in other incarnational periods you were involved as siblings or you were involved in a family situation. But nonetheless, those individuals who experience what you like to refer to as love at first sight many times are involved in very close and committed relationships in other incarnational periods. What you don't understand is that stranger that you meet and that you become attracted to and that you begin to develop a relationship with over a period of time when you begin to feel that you are growing to understand and to learn each other, is that even that individual you are involved with in another incarnational period. The chances of you interacting with someone in this incarnational period in your so-called awakened consciousness state is about as close to zero as you can get. Every individual that you interact with, and particularly anyone that you may form any type of a relationship, be that positive or negative, is an individual that you are interacting with and being involved with in some type of a relationship in another incarnational period. And so even that individual that you feel is a stranger is not necessarily a stranger, but rather someone that you may not be as closely connected to in another incarnational period, but nonetheless interacting with. You know that individual, not only one incarnational period, but many, many incarnational periods. And so the love at first sight puts individuals into a situation where the attraction remains throughout a lifetime. Even though there may be some traumatic experience that somehow affects that relationship, nonetheless, the attraction remains. Absolutely. Is you interacting in other incarnational periods in which you are involved in a very intimate relationship, and once again, those incarnational periods are affected by this one, and consequently, this incarnational period is affecting your other incarnational periods. It's difficult to give an explanation because you see, you have this, particularly in your awakened consciousness, that very deep belief and understanding of time and space. One of the most difficult human consciousness belief systems for you to set aside. And yet from our perspective, it's an illusion. It doesn't exist. It is difficult to give an explanation about something that doesn't really exist. And yet the explanation that is the most valid for your understanding is based upon that belief system that's an illusion. It is difficult. Nonetheless, when you're involved with that individual, once again, you are interacting in other incarnational periods in the same time and the same space. You simply choose to ignore that interaction And once again, for that very same basic reason, because you desire to experience an intense range of emotions and feelings that's not possible for you to achieve when you understand that you are absolutely in control. The explanation continuously comes back to that reason why you exist in this vibrational level in the first place. And so loving someone at first sight gives you that connection. That's the state of being. But the doing, the part that allows that particular type of experience, that love for another, to continue to grow in your awakened consciousness state, even though it exists in a level of consciousness that you're not aware of, where you are one, where you are connected with the act and everyone, even though you're not aware of that in your awakened consciousness state, in order for you to maintain that experience of loving someone, of feeling that connection, there are things that you do to validate that, to allow each of you to experience the emotions and feelings that you entered into this vibrational level to experience in the first place. And it's important that you understand what those experiences are based on and what's required. The things that you do to express love. And there are many, many things that you do. And it's the doing that takes the effort. You give to another. When you give to another, you give for the purpose of allowing them to experience joy, to experience a sense of belonging, to experience an understanding that you are giving a gift as a gift and an expression of love. And you see, when you give a gift that you give as an expression of love, then it must be unconditional. Each of you are involved in situations where you are experiencing interactions with other individuals that you express love to, be it in a family group or as an individual that you are involved in a relationship with. And you seemingly give gifts to those individuals, but many times, you put a condition on the gift. I will support you here, providing that you meet these requirements. We do it all the time. We enter into these type of arrangements with individuals that we are involved with, that we are expressing love to, constantly giving situations where we impose certain conditions upon the gift. When you impose a condition upon a gift, it becomes a contract. Regardless of how minimal the condition may appear to be, if there's a condition, it's a contract. It's not a gift as an expression of love. Even though the contract may be created as an expression of love, it's not an unconditional gift given as an expression of love. And there's nothing wrong with contracts. There's nothing wrong with contracts being created between individuals who are involved in a loving relationship. You do it continuously. You see, you like to have borders. You like to know what the boundaries are, what is possible, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, what makes it something that you agree with or do not agree with. And so you put the conditions on. You form the contract between two individuals who are involved in a loving relationship. And there's nothing wrong with that. Your entire society is based upon those types of interactions. However, if you're giving a gift of love to allow the other to experience the feelings of joy that come unconditionally, then the gift must be unconditional. And so you give to allow others to experience joy, to allow them to understand that you have a commitment. You commit. A difficult concept in a loving relationship, but an essential concept, is a commitment. A commitment that allows the others to accept the commitment without judgment, without ever wondering if the commitment continues to exist. You commit. You commit to the relationship. You commit to your so-called future. You commit to the doing that's necessary to express love. Commitment, absolutely necessary. To trust someone. When you are involved in a loving relationship, you trust someone and you allow someone to trust you. Trust is a very complicated process. And many times individuals don't stop to consider what's involved in trust. You get involved in a situation, not necessarily with someone that you're committed to, that you're in a loving relationship with, but an individual that you're involved in some type of an interaction, and you trust without really understanding what is involved if you're going to trust someone. You see, if you're going to trust someone, first of all, you must have the potential for love. If there's no potential for love, then what's the need to trust someone? There must be the potential for love. Secondly, you must assume and believe that that individual can be trusted. If you don't believe someone can be trusted and you enter into a situation that you believe requires that other person to be trustworthy, and you have simply set yourself up for failure. It's really that simple. If you don't believe you can trust someone and yet you enter into a trusting situation, you are bound to be disappointed. Absolutely. And so trust requires that you believe that that other individual who is involved in that situation can be trusted. And thirdly, before you enter into a trusting situation, you must solicit the other's trust. If you are entering into a trusting situation or a situation that involves someone to be trusted, and then you solicit their trust after you are already into that trusting situation or arrangement, then once again, you're setting yourself up for failure and you're not being fair to the other person by allowing them to decide whether or not they want to be involved in a trusting situation with you. The exception is when you are in a loving relationship. When you are in a loving relationship, trust is not only assumed, but given. And it is given freely, and it is something that each individual can depend upon without question. And solicitation is not necessary. You trust each other. Absolutely. And so when there is a situation where you are involved in an individual in a loving relationship, and an instant comes up where you could potentially suffer a loss by allowing that other to become involved in the situation. You never wonder whether they will violate your trust. You never wonder whether the loss will come because the other has not lived up to what you expected in that trusting relationship. It's given. It's what you give in a loving relationship is trust. To know someone, to allow them to experience the trust, to know someone, to allow them to experience The commitment to know someone. To know someone to the point where you were willing, without any question, that you would be criticized, ridiculed, or judged. You will allow someone to know you intimately. And conversely, you will allow another to express themselves, to allow themselves to believe that you as well, upon knowing them, will not judge or criticize or ridicule. To know someone and to allow another to be known, the things that you do in a loving relationship. The list goes on. Things that you do to allow another to experience love. To allow another to not ever question whether or not that relationship is serious, whether or not they can depend on you, whether or not they will be there for you, without question and without judgment. Those are the things that you must do in order for a love to thrive and in order for a love to expand in your awakened consciousness, that it's the doing. Necessary for a love to be sustained. And so the being quite often is quite easy to be in love with someone. Once again, it can occur at first sight. There's a connection that's at a deeper level than what you're aware of in your awakened consciousness that. But the doing requires the effort to know someone, to allow someone to be known. To give to someone, to trust someone, to commit to someone, and to allow the other person as well to give and to commit and to trust without fear of whether or not the relationship will suffer consequences because you may allow a certain aspect of your personality to be known with fear of judgment or ridicule. Doing is extremely important to be involved in a loving situation. And the irony of it is that to love yourself consciously requires the same effort. To love yourself consciously requires that you trust who you are, that you know who you are, requires that you allow yourself to give gifts that are given unconditionally to yourself so that you can experience that love and consequently have the capacity to love others. For you see, this reality that you experience is your creation, and it's created from a position of absolute unconditional love. It's who and what you truly are. You go to great lengths to hide from it. You put up this veil that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. And you hide from your spirituality, and many of you go to a tremendous length to try to connect with that spirituality like it's something you've lost. I'm trying to find my spirituality. You can't lose your spirituality. You can hide from it, but it's who and what you truly are. You can't lose it. It's not something you have to search for. It's who and what you truly are. And if you wish to have that connection, you have but to go with inside. as we have suggested many times, it cannot be explained. You won't find it written in a book, and you won't find it by someone giving you a lecture on how it is that you should exist or live your life or what you should do to connect with that spirituality. It's not possible. You experience it by going within thought. You experience it by entering into what we refer to as a meditative state, an altered state of consciousness, where you maintain your awareness while altering your consciousness to a level that reaches your so-called deep dream state and even beyond, into the so-called in-between incarnational state. Individuals in your awakened consciousness state that experience that many times are involved in what you refer to as a near-death experience. And they get beyond the limitations, and they make a connection with that spark of consciousness that they are. And when they return into your so-called awakened consciousness state, they have an understanding. And they will attempt to explain it to you, but you'll find that it's never an accurate explanation. It always falls short of what they're attempting to explain. It's because it can't be explained. It's an experience. And you don't have to go through a near-death experience in order to experience this for yourself as an individual. Alter your consciousness or maintaining awareness. And while you believe in this concept of time and space and consequently believe that it is necessary for you to go through some type of an evolutionary process or a learning process before you accomplish what it is that you are attempting to achieve, consequently, it can take some time for you to achieve that connection with that spark of consciousness that you are. It can take some time for you to develop that ability to alter your consciousness while maintaining your awareness and go to a level where you have that connection with the spark of consciousness that you are, to get into and beyond what you refer to as the deep dream state, and to have that connection and to have that understanding. It's possible for each of you. Even though you may believe that it's difficult, nonetheless, it is possible. And when you achieve that, and when you come back into your awakened consciousness state, you bring with you the understanding of who and what you truly are. And as well, you bring with you the understanding and the knowledge that it's not possible for you to give an explanation to someone else about what it was that you experienced. And some of the individuals who attempt to give that experience or attempt to go through various techniques that will take you to that level of your consciousness frequently refer to as an awakening. It doesn't matter what you refer to it as. It's coming in contact with that spark of consciousness that you are. It's getting a glimpse of what it is to experience unconditional love, and to bring it back into your awareness in your awakened consciousness state. You can't lose your spirituality. You can only hide from it. You are all that is. There is not one entity existing, not only in this vibrational level, but in any other vibrational level, who is any more or any less than what each of you are. At some level of your consciousness, you have an absolute understanding of what it is to experience unconditional love. The reality that you experience in your awakened consciousness state, that you are responsible for the creation of, comes from a position of absolute unconditional love. And such an absolute unconditional love that it does not judge whether what you desire to experience in your awakened consciousness state is right or wrong, good or bad, but rather gives to you that which you desire, validates your beliefs and belief systems without question, and rejoices in the creation process from the position of absolute unconditional love. And each of you has the capacity not only to experience that interaction with that so-called higher self, but to bring back into your awakened consciousness state a memory of that interaction, and consequently an understanding of what it is to love yourself consciously. and increase your capacity to love others as well, consciously. You are all that is. You create your reality, and you cannot fail to come to that understanding. You are absolute unconditional love, and you have the capacity to understand that in your awakened consciousness. That, and consequently, from having that understanding in your awakened consciousness, that you have the capacity to influence all of the other incarnational periods that you're creating in this so-called illusion of time and space. It's really simple. You are all that is. You create your reality, and you cannot fail to come to that understanding. All the rest is illusionary. The only limitation to your creation process is your imagination. You are absolute unconditional love, and you have the capacity to bring an understanding of self-love and unconditional love into your awakened consciousness state, and to express it to others. Now, we will break for a moment or two, and if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you. And in the meantime, we would remind you that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by our vibrational level. Should you choose to interact with us, you have but to express the intent, and we would welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with the actual you. And so we would bid you farewell with love.